Hello and welcome to this meeting of Rogues Anonymous, a support group for those who would rather lose with their own idea than win with someone else's. My name is Steve, and I'm a rogue deck builder.
Hi, Steve.
At this meeting, we will be covering recent news and events from the Magic community. We'll also be getting into our current deck building challenge, Clash of the Gods, where someone will have the opportunity to win a full playset of any single card in the standard format, delivered via Magic Online. Then we'll be moving to our current brew, a Sultai control deck, mostly a black, splashing blue, splashing green control deck, featuring the new tutor effect, Dark Petition. So without any further delay, let's get to the news. Before we get into the main parts of the meeting, I'd like to take a moment, seeing as how this is the inaugural meeting of Rogues Anonymous, to just briefly go over what this show is all about. Rogues Anonymous is going to be a show that will focus on building creative and original decks with a focus on the current standard format. While we may touch on other constructed formats as events warrant, standard is definitely going to be the focus of our efforts. Each week, we'll be taking a look at the latest news in the Magic community, especially as it pertains to deck building. This will include tournament results, spoilers if they're available, and any other news in the Magic community and Magic Online. The heart of each meeting will be two segments. First of all, we will be going over our current and ongoing deck building challenges. Our first deck building challenge is entitled Clash of the Gods. We will be looking for 16 champions. One person to champion each of the 15 gods of Theros, and one champion for the lowly mortals. Once we have deck submissions, based on the rules and restrictions that we'll go over later in the show, we will seed a 16-player tournament. We will place the matches. We will get a winner. The winning champion will be able to select any card in the standard format and receive a full playset of that card via Magic Online. In addition to the deck building challenge, at each meeting, we will be working on our current brew. The current brew will be a work in progress that we will be crowdsourcing and taking all sorts of suggestions and comments from the audience to make changes and refinements to the current brew until the community is satisfied it has gone as far as it can. Then we'll be moving on to another brew. Our first brew will be a green-white Dragonlord Dromoka deck, also featuring Mastery of the Unseen. Now that you have an idea of what the show and what each meeting is going to be about, we're going to move over and cover some news. At the top of this week's news is Grand Prix San Diego, a standard format tournament run by ChannelFireball.com. We're going to touch on the top 8 deck lists first of all, and we will be focusing on the two finalists as fate would have it. They were the spiciest brews that were brought to the tournament. There was a Black-Red Dragons deck, a Jeskai deck, two more standard Abzan builds, an aggro build and a control build, an Esper Dragons deck, and a Green-White Megamorph deck all made the top 8. In the finals, however, we had an Abzan versus Blue-Red. The Abzan deck was a constellation deck focused heavily on enchantments, featuring several new cards from Magic Origins. Chief among them, Starfield of Nyx, which allows you to recur an enchantment from your graveyard every turn. Also, Herald of the Pantheon, the 2-mana 2/2, which makes all of your enchantments cost one less colorless mana to cast. He also gains you a life each time you cast an enchantment, which can be relevant, especially with a lot of the aggro decks that are running around the format. That build lost, however, in the finals to Michael Majors, who's playing Blue-Red Sphinx's Tutelage. This deck, for those of you who watched the Pro Tour a couple weeks ago, was brought to that tournament and built for that tournament by Andrew Cuneo. He played it to relatively good success at the Pro Tour level, And now the deck has won a Grand Prix, being piloted by Michael Majors. This deck has several very unique components. The first one is the 3-mana enchantment, 2 and a blue, Sphinx's Tutelage. That says whenever you draw a card, target opponent puts the top 2 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. If they're both non-land cards and they share a color, you repeat this process. With monocolor and two-color decks, you can expect to repeat that process several times throughout the game, and those repeats do tend to add up. It also has an activated ability. For 5 and a blue, you can loot one. You can draw a card and then discard a card. The deck is trying to stick a Sphinx's Tutelage and basically draw as many cards as possible, milling your opponent out as quickly as possible. These mill outs can happen rather quickly, especially because the triggers for Sphinx's Tutelage do stack, and having more than one on the battlefield is something that is not all that uncommon, especially in pre-board games. It also runs 4 of the new Jace, Vryn's Prodigy. This card, through its loot ability, draws an extra card. Also can fill up the graveyard for the 4 treasure crews that are in the deck, along with 1 dig-through time. He also runs 4 Magmatic Insight and 4 Tormenting Voice as additional card drawing engines. One of the cooler features of the deck is the single 5-mana legendary artifact Alhamaret's Archive. Alhamaret's Archive says if you would gain life, you gain twice that much life instead. More importantly for this deck, but not exclusively, it also says if you would draw a card, except for the first one you draw each turn, draw 2 cards instead. That doubles up all of your treasure cruises and insights and tormenting voices, etc. And along with Sphinx's Tutelage, the mill triggers can really add up in a hurry. So that is definitely the most interesting deck of the tournament. It created quite the buzz. And from a deck building standpoint, I found it very refreshing to find a deck outside of the normal metagame coming in and doing so well at a major tournament. Next on the rundown is Tuesday's installment of the Standard Super League. For those of you who don't know, on twitch.tv/magic each Tuesday night, they run a series of matches that is a round robin tournament with several prominent personalities from the Magic community. Last night we had several good matches, a few interesting decks, a few decks that were well less interesting, but still a good standard to watch and a very entertaining evening of Magic. Tom Ross faced off against Josh Utter Layton. Tom was on a Bant Heroic deck, and Josh was on a Jeskai deck. Tom had some mana troubles, especially early on, and was never really in any of the games. The Jeskai deck basically had the necessary answers and ran over Tom quite quickly. After that, we had Gabby Spartz playing against podcaster Marshall Sutcliffe. Marshall was running an Esper Dragons deck, and Gabby was running Mono Red Goblins, featuring Obelisk of Urd, among other things. Gabby got out to very quick starts in several of the games and was fairly easily able to win the match versus Marshall. We also had Paul Cheon playing versus Kenji Igashira. Paul was also running Esper Dragons. Kenji was running a green-white Megamorph build. Paul made fairly quick work in 2 games over Kenji. His draws were considerably better. Kenji stumbled on mana in at least one of the games and didn't have much of a chance. Later on, Paul Rietzel played against Owen Turtenwald. Owen was on the Abzan Constellation build we talked about earlier from the Pro Tour, and Paul was on a red-white prowess slash heroic deck. Very interesting take on what some people called heroic, but more and more people now are referring it to more of a prowess deck. It has Temur Battle Rage as a nice finisher, along with several good prowess creatures and heroic creatures. He smashed Owen fairly quickly and fairly easily in their match. After that, Sam Black was matched up against Brad Nelson. Sam was on an Abzan aggro deck. Brad brought a green-white devotion list. You may remember this from shortly after the release of Dragons of Tarkir, I believe it was, with some pretty crazy mirror matches featuring Whisperwood Elementals and Masteries of the Unseen, where life totals got super crazy, boards got cluttered beyond imagination. The deck seemed to fall out of favor for some time. Brad has brought it back for the Standard Super League and took the match from Sam Black in three games. The final match of the evening was much anticipated. Unfortunately, didn't turn out to be a very, very entertaining match. Andrew Cuneo, again, who designed the recent GP San Diego winning deck list, brought another brew to the Standard Super League. He was facing off against Gerard Fabiano, who was playing Sultai Control. Andrew's deck was a Pyromancer's Goggles deck designed to double up on a bunch of spells and do some other crazy things. Unfortunately, the deck really never got going in either of the games. Even if it had, it's hard to imagine it would have done well versus the four main deck Sultai Charms that Gerard was running. However, it was a little disappointing. Everyone was looking forward to seeing the Goggles do something. Perhaps in another matchup, they will. We'll have to wait for next Tuesday to see how they perform then. But in that match, Gerard won very easily. Although not strictly speaking, spoiler season, the new set for the fall, Battle for Zendikar, is much anticipated. And there is a single spoiler, not official, but it has been posted in several sources. And we're going to talk about it right here. Each week, we will talk about any additional spoilers that are revealed and start forming our opinions about the new set and what it's going to do for the post-rotation world of Standard. The card we're talking about is Oblivion Sower, 6 colorless mana for a 5/8 creature Eldrazi. It says, when you cast Oblivion Sower, target opponent exiles the top 4 cards of his or her library. Then you may put any number of land cards that player owns from exile onto the battlefield under your control. Interestingly, any lands that are in exile from any other source would seem to be eligible for this effect. So if somebody delves away land cards, for example, and later in the game you play this, not only do you get to exile the top 4 cards and take any lands out of that, but any lands that have been formerly exiled, it would seem that you would be able to play those as well. Quite an interesting first spoiler. Does not seem ridiculously powerful, but a 6-mana 5/8 is not a bad body with a pretty relevant ability. All these extra lands could be pretty nice. Even though this guy does come down a little bit later in the game, he could really help to ramp out something nasty like additional Eldrazi, should they be reprinted in the set, or even something like Ugin the Spirit Dragon, whose minus ability interacts quite nicely with this colorless creature. Slam this guy, play a bunch of lands, untap, play Ugin and minus him. That could be a thing. Time will tell. Again, fairly expensive body here, but not bad at all. And pretty interesting for the first spoiler of the new set. Upcoming events for this week include Grand Prix London. This is a standard format Grand Prix that will be run by Star City Games. Coverage will be done by the Wizards European coverage team and will begin each day, Saturday and Sunday, at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. You want to be sure to tune in to twitch.tv/magic for all the standard action. Our current deck building challenge is entitled Clash of the Gods. Choose the god that you wish to champion and start brewing today. The overall concept of this challenge is to choose one of the 15 gods of Theros, or to choose to champion the mortals, and build a deck that is creative and flavorful enough to get into the tournament, while playable enough to actually win the tournament. We will be taking 16 champions into the tournament, the best submission for each god, as well as the best mortals submission will get in. Deck submissions will be taken until September 15th, 2015. And for gods who have multiple hopefuls, a judging will then take place to determine each god's champion. Once our champions have been selected, a 16-player single elimination bracket will be set up and matches will be scheduled. Schedules permitting, all matches will be streamed and/or recorded. The overall champion of the tournament will receive, for his or her effort, a playset of any single card in Standard delivered digitally via Magic Online. The core rules for this deck building challenge are as follows. We will be using the current Standard format with the following modifications. You must include at least 3 copies of your chosen god. This obviously doesn't apply to our Mortals champion. You are highly encouraged to include cards that contain your god's name in the card name. You cannot include any card that includes the name of another god in its card name. That would most certainly be heresy. All submissions are strongly encouraged to use the Planeswalker's guides linked on our website, especially the Mortals Champion. As an additional restriction, the card Deicide is banned from the competition, as this would give the white-based gods an unfair advantage. Please take note that this is not simply a flavor-building competition. The flavor element of this is meant to introduce restrictions that will further challenge your ability and your creativity to build a quality deck. Although these decks will obviously not be tier one, within the context of this tournament, the idea is to make a deck that, although is flavorful and conforms to the guidelines that we've already mentioned, is competitive enough to actually win the tournament. Feel free to use the communication medium of your choice to submit your decks. Our email address is roguesanonymous@gmail.com. That's probably the best way to send a deck list in. You can also post it to our Facebook page, facebook.com/roguesanonymous. If you have a link to the deck that's hosted somewhere else, such as tappedout.net, you may send a link to the deck list via Twitter or any of the other mentioned methods as well. Our Twitter address is @RoguesAnonymous. However you get your deck here, you have until September 15th to get it in. At that point, judging will take place and we'll get on with the tournament. Someone's going to win that playset of any single card in the Standard format. Good luck! Now it's time to get into our current brew, our Sultai Petition deck. For those of you watching on YouTube, we've broken the deck tech and the match videos out into their own files to keep the file sizes a little bit more manageable. For those of you listening as a podcast, we have the audio portion of the deck tech coming up for you right now. And if you wish to watch the match videos, you can head on over to our YouTube channel at your convenience. Before we get into a couple of matches here, we're just going to go over the deck list. So you have some idea of what we're looking to do here. The cornerstone of the deck is Dark Petition, the new tutor effect from Magic Origins. Although a 5-mana tutor is pretty expensive, if you have Spell Mastery active, you get 3 mana back right away, and that can enable a lot of different things. On turn 5, you can do things like search up Hero's Downfall, which is very nice. Drowned in Sorrow versus the aggressive matchups, always really nice as well. You can go get a Foul Tongue and cast that right away. Or even something like Bioblight. if that's a better fit for what you're trying to do. Once you get past 5 mana, you can start doing other things. At 6 mana, you can cast a Languish. You can even, later in the game, tutor up a Palisiege and play that. All you need is 7 mana at that point. Another key to the deck is Bow of Nylea. Because the deck relies on tutor effects to get 1 and 2 ofs as needed, being able to recycle those out of the graveyard is very important, and this card is great at doing that. Also, the life gain on this is extremely important versus some of the more aggressive decks out in the format. Now, for with regard to tutors, it's always nice to know what your opponent is doing, and that's what these duresses are doing here. I like duress better than Thoughtseize. This deck takes damage from itself in some pain lands, as well as for Read the Bones, and we don't need to be taking more damage from these discard spells, primarily because this is as much about the information that you gain as it is about taking a card. If you can get a good card, hey, that's a bonus, but being able to see what they're up to so that when you do get one of your tutors, you know what you're tutoring for, that is extremely important in a deck like this. So some of our one of answers. We have Tormad's Crypt for the large variety of graveyard decks that are out there. And even decks that aren't solely based on the graveyard, this can really put a crimp in some delve strategies when you play it. We have Consigned to Dust, which is how we deal with enchantments. Having Strive, we can very often deal with 2, even 3 or more enchantments. It doesn't exile, so when we run into indestructible artifacts or gods in the current standard format, we do have Unravel we can bring in out of the sideboard. But generally speaking, this is good for a lot of the very troublesome enchantments that are out there. As mentioned before, we have a one of Drown and Sorrow. Always nice to go get to basically wrath the aggro decks. We have a one of Foul Tongue for hexproof and indestructible type creatures. We have a couple of counter spells that we can get depending on the circumstances. We also have a one of Silence of the Believers. This card is great again for indestructible stuff and things that we just want or need to exile. Three Languish, although we do tutor for these, just drawing them naturally is nice. One of our two win conditions is a one of Palisiege, just to grind them out. And of course, Uncle Garrick, who is extremely powerful, comes down, protects himself. He can gain us some life in the late game if we need it. And if they don't answer him, he obviously just wins the game. In the sideboard, we got some extra counter magic. This is mainly for the counter magic matchups. Additional Bioblights and Drowned in Sorrows for the very aggressive decks. Virulent Plague for a lot of the aggressive and token decks. An additional Silence the Believers. We run a single Infinite Obliteration. Although I tried this in the main, I still don't think it's a good main deck card, even with the tutors. You often have it and you just don't know what you may know some of the creatures they have, but you don't know what's really important, and I think in post-board games it's just much more valuable to bring in. As mentioned, we got an Unravel for some instant speed. This is not really a destroy or exile, but shuffling it back into their deck, especially at instant speed, it deals with a lot of stuff. And for the Constellation and the Starfield / Sigil decks, Back to Nature is a great card to have. The reason that we don't run this in the main as opposed to this is we do have our bow, which is extremely critical for us to keep, as well as the Palisiege. And although we can't pop off the Back to Nature, I found that having this that just picks off their enchantments is much more valuable. So basically, we try to answer everything they do. Stick a Palace Siege and or Uncle Garrick and win the game that way. So let's get on to a couple of matches here.